10-4, is that okay? Hey, Tom.
Nice to hear you this evening. Oh, I'm just out running around. My neighbor needs a driveway sensor. He just doesn't know it. So I went down and bought him one down at Harbor Freight. They work real good. I got one on the chicken house for varmints, and I got one on the driveway. And if somebody comes down the driveway, well, you know it. And if something starts to invade the chicken house, you know that too. And I know him. He'd never take the time to go get one, so I just went and got him one.
Really nice of you, Tom. I missed who you said you got it for. I'm assuming it was a family member.
And Gary says about Chris on the net, he says, another brother from another mother. Well, that's how I feel about my neighbor. I was over there tonight, and I bought a couple of fishing plugs and called chatterbaits. Bought three of them. And he said, no, you got to have these tails put on them, Tom. These short, they look like a frog tail. And he come out and put them on there and showed me how to do that. He's always doing something for me. And so I just decided I'd go get that. In fact, I think the batteries, it takes 3C batteries, and it takes 1 9-volt. They probably cost more than the whole dad burn sensor does. They were $16.99 for the sensor.
Neighbors like that that look out for you, ones you can help out too. Are they, I'm just curious, are they real sensitive? If, say, you got one on the driveway and an animal walks through it, is it going to pick it up?
It will. It depends on where you put it at. I had that one on the driveway set where the turtle doves come in the garden of a morning there, and if one of them happened to fly by that sensor, it'd pick it up, but usually we were up by then. But as a general rule, no. And again, it's about placement. And how far away you want to detect. I think one direction it can detect up to 400 feet, but I just got it going from the house across the driveway. And if there's a delivery from Amazon or FedEx or somebody like that, or somebody walks in, if we're in the basement, it lets us know. And if it's at nighttime, I do have a cat that comes through there now and then at nighttime. But it's not too often, so don't really bother me that much. But it will wake you up if you have it on high. There's two settings on it, Shane. I know you work at night a lot of times, and depending on what your route is and all that, not all the time, but I'm sure it's comforting to know that when somebody's coming down the driveway, put it that way.
Trying to think about it. We got a lot of wildlife around too. Beth and I walked down to the pond and took our granddaughter down there, and it's a path through the woods down to the pond, and I was looking at it thinking, man, this sure looks awful well worn for us not using it very often lately. I know we get a lot of wildlife back in there. I need to get a camera, outdoor camera, kind of see what's hanging around the house, because I know we've got some stuff up there.
Enjoying the down of my outdoor camera. I just bought a Tasco, just a cheap one from Wally World, and I say cheap. I don't really remember what it cost, Shane, but I'm thinking it was, $59 or something. They even have them where you can hook to the internet now, but I think you got to pay a fee on that every month, and I don't have anything like that. This just got an SD card in it, and I go down there and change it now and then. It's just totally amazing how much wildlife goes down there just at the back of the property. And so you probably got a lot of deer. I know I picked up a deer the other night, and it went through my neighbor's yard and through our yard. And then the neighbor's, it looks like a lassie, and it come prancing through the yard. It got loose from him, and I usually go out and catch it. It comes to me. Not this time. It just kept running. But it belongs to a little gal up the street. My name is Zoe. And occasionally it'll run off from him. I think it went down and visited my chickens.
He's coming down to tell you that the neighbor fell down the well. Let me get back with you in a minute. I'm going through security here. Are you going to be around for a few minutes?
The driveway, you're saying, but I can sit here for a little bit.
Moved in front of me. I'll tell you this one thing real quick. I was trying to work Saudi Arabia yesterday. I could hear them down in the noise, probably about an S4, S5. I guess he couldn't pull me out. I thought maybe he was throwing part of my call back, and, you know, with a question mark, but then it turned out to be a couple different people that had similar letters and not that far yet. I don't believe. I think I've made one contact somewhere over there, but I don't believe it's Saudi Arabia.
Well, Kuwait's on quite often over there, and there's just a lot of them that work over there that I'm familiar with. Their name's Ali, and trying to think of the other Nomad or something like that. But they got beautiful websites, I'll tell you that.
To this one, I think it was HZ1 Bravo Hotel. HZ1 Bravo Hotel. You familiar with that one?
It almost sounds like HZ is usually the Vatican, but I'm sure you're correct. I'm just going by memory now.
Hotel Bravo or Hotel Zulu 1. I'm pretty sure it was HZ, but I could be wrong. But anyway, I tried to work him, but let me get through security here. N4ZOK, I'll call you back if you're still there.
N0TR. I'll go ahead and pull in the garage and turn the radio on. It won't take me a minute, N0TR.
But LK mobile.
NR just worked out fine, Shane. Oh, I'm in the garage now.
I looked up the call. It was HZ1BH. I sent you a text message. I don't know if you may not be able to look at it on the text, but I linked it. Anyway, he's got a good website as well.
A lot of the Saudis and the ones over in the Mideast and that, it's just amazing what they put on those websites now. But did you know that the Vatican was, I believe, that or that little town in Italy, little country in Italy, is the smallest country in the world. So if you ever get a chance to work them, work them. I was trying to look it up real quick to see what it was. But, the Vatican, I suppose that'd be down around Italy, wouldn't it? And San Marino, T7 is a real small country, if not the smallest. But HB0, I think, is the Vatican down there, Shane.
I know that I've got a lot of Italian contacts. That part of Europe seems to come in very well. Spain, Italy, that area. I seem to have a direct line to it most days.
Bulgaria, Lima Zulu, is probably the one I got a straight line to. And then Italy is quite common. But I haven't seen San Marino in a while. And Liechtenstein's another nice one to work. And I was trying to remember that I'm looking at this, they call it a World Atlas from ARRL. And I'd have to get my cards out and look for that to be sure. But the Vatican is, there it is, Vatican City. That's his HV, Hotel Victor. Liechtenstein must be the one that's HB0. Okay. But I was just remembering, and used to be the Vatican had come on there. It wasn't really rare, but he'd come on there quite often. Well, you'll get them. It's a matter of time. If the propagation's there, you can get them, Shane.
elevation has a lot to do with it. I think my antenna probably needs to be a little higher, maybe. I don't know. Because I occasionally I've heard Australia. I've worked it a couple times, worked Hawaii, but it's rare. Other places just seem to be there all the time. So, but I had a good time. I tell you what, talking about those QRZ pages, some of those people, I put something on mine, and it took me a while to write it up. And I was looking at one last night. I must have scrolled down, if it was, if you count pages, it must have been 25 pages worth of information and pictures and links to all kinds of stuff. I got caught in a rabbit hole last night looking at his stuff. I don't remember his call, but I'd seen him before. I heard him on the air and looked him up. And I can't remember if I worked him or not, but I heard him. And sometime, I don't know if it was on his, but somewhere along the way, I watched a video that Walter Cronkite did about ham radio, and I found out he was a ham radio operator.
So many of the people on the space shuttle are amateur radio operators. I never did get into that as far as trying to work the shuttle. I watched it go over and the International Space Station go over, but I never did try to work them. I think Jerry has... for DJC down here. He worked a lot of satellites. I had a lot of fun working Tasmania, which is just below Australia over there. And I asked them about that Tasmanian devil, and they just laughed. But up there in the Northern Territory, out there where Down Under was made, what's his name? Anyways, it's up in the VK8 territory of Australia. There's no boy out there by Alice Springs, where that was made at and centered around, that gets on there pretty darn often.
Down Under with Tom Selleck.
That's correct. I couldn't remember his name right there. But yeah, there's a place right out there just within a few miles of Alice Springs, and I worked that one time. Another one that used to be quite often was a fellow that worked every county in the United States, 3,077. And his call has that included in it, Shane. I can't remember. I got cards from him over here. And I thought, wow, that's quite an achievement, every county in the United States.
An achievement. Goodness gracious. I know my father-in-law used to say, you know, I remember him telling me about the astronaut on the space shuttle, and his comment was, those guys are so, most of them are so bright, getting their ham radio license is probably no big deal. It's just another little quick, you know, 30-minute test. They probably look at the material and take the test at the same time, just because of the... the cooperation with the ham radio community. You know, they wanted every astronaut to be able to do that while they were up there.
But, Shane, if they'd done it when they were kids, you know, people like that with PhDs and that, most of them, yeah, it'd be a skate job. They could skate right into that. But it's still, Hawaii's not rare. They're on, every time there's a contest, they're on. I enjoyed working Midway, which is the first place we landed on the way to Vietnam, and then we landed at Wake Island out there, KH-4 and KH-9, and it was nice, but now they're animal sanctuaries, and so the ham radio operators have to get special permission to go out there, and I guess it's just very difficult. Some of the places they like to go on those de-expeditions. But I got cards from there, and I remember exactly how that runway looked out there. I went up in the cockpit and looked out the window. And it's only like 5,000-foot runway, and an island was sitting in the middle of this beautiful turquoise water. I can't imagine being on that when the Japanese attacked it. It's no more than a rock.
Went through a lot, I know. And of course, when you're there, there's when you're being attacked, there's no, you really don't have a choice at the moment. But it's crazy. I've seen some pictures and video and read some stories. I guess I need to spend some more time on where more of the DX is, the frequencies. As I was learning Morse code, I was, you know, spent a lot of time up in the, 14.0.556, kind of 4.5 to up that way, and I guess the DX is probably a little bit lower generally. And then, of course, I need to upgrade so I can take advantage of the lower portion as well.
As you are, you'll be able to do that standing on your head. There's a few math questions in there that you got to study a little bit, but it's not as bad as having to do 20 words a minute, let me tell you. I thought I'd never get there. But, yeah, it's worthwhile. I usually operate between 14 and 14.025. In the same way on 40 meters, 7.0 to 7.025. Now, if I see something on QRZ that, you know, parks on the air, summits on the air, or some special event, I go up in there. A lot of the slower code operators run about 7025 to 7035 in that area. But now some of them are getting down in there in the extra class area, and I can't slow down that slow. I can slow down some, but to do it real slow is harder than once you master it a little bit. It's easier to do it, you know, from 20 to 30 in that area.
I can copy, you know, like signal report, call signal report, and, you know, if that's all it's going to be, fairly quickly, and send it back really quickly. But if we're going to carry on a conversation, I got to go a little bit, I got to go slower than that. But I'm working on it, and plus I'm still using the straight key. I've got a paddle key, and I've used it some, and I like it. I'm just trying to, I enjoy that straight. I have to admit, I enjoy the straight key, and I know it's probably limiting my speed as far as sending, but right now I'm not having to make anybody really slow down that much, so I'm not too worried about it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Shane, your speed will improve exponentially if you start using the paddles. It's nice that you know how to run the straight key. I never did use one much. I had a very difficult time with it. But the paddles, wow, they're nice. And like when you send something like, 73s and ARSK or 2U or that, you can just grab the paddles and hold them, and they will send out an AR and then an SK just unbelievably fast. And I think it improve immensely. And then you can still use your straight key for the fun of it. I think Jerry, KI4DOS, learned on a straight key. I tried in a 33 and a third RPM record, but it just didn't gel. And that was back in the old CB days in the 70s. And when it got so dirty in that, I couldn't have it around my kids. I got rid of it and learned to be a ham operator. But I'll tell you, I went over to sideband the other night and listened to this station in Liberia up on sideband, and they were cussing each other and calling each other names. And, I'll just stick to my Morse code.
I hate to hear that on sideband. There's 40 meters. There's a frequency around 7,200, I think, maybe. Somewhere close to that, you probably are familiar with it. Seems like there's a lot of that on. I haven't been up there in a long time, but it seemed like it was on the evenings a lot.
Right, unfortunately. I never in my life heard that in 20 years on the CW bands. But now you do hear that some, especially in the more accomplished operators, they're supposed to know better. If somebody doesn't run split, they get on there and put obscenities on there in Morse code. Most people won't even know what they're saying, but I do. And with their initials they send, and don't identify and all that. But maybe 1% compared to about, I don't know how many percent on Sidemen. I've heard that a lot up there, and I just don't want no part of it. I like the Morse code. It's a better mode of operation, and it's not a screaming contest. It's a skill. And it's like this sign I got up here, CW. It said it's like FDA, but it's for men. That's my opinion, and I know I'm old and old-fashioned.
Is that up, Ted? How's my signal?
Getting pretty rough, Shane. That one transmission was pretty scratchy, but then you come back full blinding that last transmission.
For a minute, and I'll come back to you. I'm going through some rough area here at 385-85. N4ZLK, I'll call you back in about 30 seconds.
N0GR.
Is that okay?
Well, I worked two that were really exciting to me the other day. Shane and I told you I worked Vietnam, and I'd never worked that. And I worked Indonesia the other night. And the irony of it was, I thought he was a pirate. And it turns out the next day I got confirmation on Logbook of the World from Indonesia. And that's over 10,000 miles, so that was really neat. That's halfway around the world.
That would be exciting. I tell you what, I've had some really enjoyable conversations on Morse code. Gotten some very nice emails back from people. I've sent a couple emails, appreciative emails, and I've gotten some very nice ones. I don't know if you know, Duncan calls the net on Monday night sometimes, KO4, JKV. I actually met him on 40 meters CW before I heard him on the net. And we've talked a few times. So it's just a lot of fun. I've always... Ever since I got my license, I thought I would enjoy that mode of operation, and I'm glad I learned it because I really do.
We said it's elbow grease. In GUHC the other night, and I got a card from him over here, and I hadn't talked to him in about 15 years, and I met him on 7.035, and he was at Crawford State Park Lake, which was about 5 miles north of our house, and I've been fishing there many times when I was younger. His name's Tom Sievert, N2UHC. He lives in St. Paul, Kansas now, which is about 35 miles to the west of us, and he was working at Parks on the air, and he was excited about that too. And conversational Morse code's still hard for me, Shane. Making contacts, I get used to that, and then I fall back on my conversational. But Tom here, he said, thanks for the CW contact during my recent POTA activation. Was good to hear you from you again, Tom. This QSL I made from a picture I took when we were camping at Farlington Lake, which is about 14 miles north of us, for a week a couple of years ago. The rig, and he tells me what that was and all, and then the wire was strung up in a tree there at the lake. And he says 73 stone. But that was pretty neat. He was Air Force, and he worked at what they call the Elephant Ring. They did Russian intercepts on Morse code over in Great Britain. And I'm telling you, Shane, he could run me in the ground.
That's really cool to work those contacts you've worked before. And I always enjoy it when they send you your name, or send you my name, send me my name, you know, especially ones I've worked. There's several on POTA that I've worked multiple times, and I always try to say hello and their first name, because I know a lot of times, I know most people have access to their records, and but sometimes you don't always pull up the name and information when you're making an initial contact, so it's nice when you can tell they recognize you. And yeah, last night I was going to say I tuned down to the lower portion of the bands just to listen to some of those guys going back and forth. It's amazing how fast they can send and receive.
Now, and most of them are doing it manually and not with a decoder. Well, this expedition going on now, and the operators are real fine and real courteous, and it's called Alpha 80, Alpha 80 Kilowatt. It's in Liberia, which is a very small country over in Africa. And I've worked them on a lot of different bands. And that's what I was looking for the other day on Sideman, heard all that going on, and I just tuned away from it. I was looking at my log, and that Indonesian guy was Yankee Echo 1, Bravo, Oscar, November. And he only made about two or three contacts, and then he just disappeared. But he was like a 5x5. I was just tickled out to get him. But I told the wife, I said, Bernice, I'm sure that was a pirate, or he wouldn't have disappeared that fast. Well, sometimes they just do. But if you get a chance to work that Alpha 80 Kilo, he's been operating all over the band, I think. I worked him on 40 sideband last night. And you know how often I run sideband, which is very rare. And then VP6 Golf in Pitcairn Island, which I've worked years ago, but not this particular gentleman, on 12 meters CW. And then Monaco. I hadn't heard Monaco in a long time, and I worked him. But there's been a little bit on, but the sunspots have been up and down. They've not been real steady to what I've seen anyways. But that Liberia Alpha 80K has been on a lot, Shane, so you ought to be able to get him. And then Mongolia and Ecuador, Qatar, that's one over there in the Middle East you can get a lot of times. Alpha 71 Whiskey. But I worked a guy in Yellowknife. I may have told you this the other day. And I heard that call, and I told Bernice, I said, I've heard that before. But I said, I'm not certain, and it's been many, many years ago. So I got over here and tuned up and called him. And I had worked him 19 years ago in Yellowknife in the Yukon, Shane. Showing my age now. This ends Earl T.R.
That's neat that you remembered his call like that. I was going to think back about the Hawaii comment on Hawaii. The two Morse code contacts I made to Hawaii, it was during a contest, and there were two, I think it was a Friday and a Saturday, and I looked them both up, and they were within a mile of each other. I thought that was interesting. I have a Hawaii sideband contact from years ago, and did I ever tell you this? My very first CW contact, it was on 15 meters. It was right after I got my license. It's probably my very first HF contact. Did I ever tell you that story?
No, sir.
Father-in-law, he couldn't pass the 13 words a minute, so he never could get his general. He had a heart problem, and he was never felt well. He was in and out of the hospital all the time. But he'd stay up at nights, and he'd work CW on the on the portions of the band that he could work. And he said, never was a paper chaser, but he said, I've worked every state but Alaska and Hawaii and just always wanted to do it, you know. Even when he was 15, he and a buddy hitchhiked across the United States to make it to Alaska. They were trying to go to Alaska, and his buddy got sick, and he ended up paying for his buddy a train ticket home, and he hitchhiked back. He never made it to Alaska, so that was kind of his dream. So anyway, right after I got my license, we were at his house, and he had a little 15 meter sloper antenna up in the backyard, not even very high off the ground at all. And he told me, he's like, get on there and send CQ, you know. So I did, and almost immediately somebody came back to me, and it was somebody from Alaska. I don't remember the call. I think I got a QSL card years ago, but I've lost it. I wish I had it. But you're talking about somebody that was excited. He was so excited, and he didn't want to work him because he just was so happy for me. It just made a big impression on me. It was a lot of fun.
Outstanding, Shane. Those are fun times, I'll tell you for sure. And it don't take a lot of a lot of these guys I work over there, and well, you mentioned Saudi Arabia. I went back 3 pages on my paper log here, and I worked Hotel Zulu 1 Tango Tango on March 25th. And his name was Ali, A-L-I, and he was in Saudi Arabia. And then I worked just before that, Kuwait City. His name was Hamad. And, yeah, you need to get your extra license. There's a guy on there from South Africa, and he runs in the extra class van all the time. He's got a beam that's out of this world. And you can talk to him. I talked to him on a wire antenna, and he gives me 5-9s, and he'll tell you exactly what your signal report is. He didn't automatically say 5-9. And he calls me by name when I contact him. Oh, we haven't talked in the last year. I call him about once a year because he's always got a pile up there. But he'll pick out the weak signals at times. And he's right out in the middle of there where you need the Range Rovers and all of that stuff or the Land Cruisers. You ought to see that webpage he has. Wow. It's in Africa, let me tell you. And he's really... great guy. What an ambassador for ham radio. But I like to get those odd places like that. Now, he was on sideband, and you can talk to him like a telephone call. And then here I see Antarctica. I hadn't heard that in a while, and I worked him on the 15th of March. But a lot of those guys are, well, he was on 17 meters CW. A lot of those guys are Russians, and they're very accomplished CW operators, and they usually have names that are very, very similar to each other, you know, named after famous people. I don't think they're part of this war and all of that stuff. They're old folks and ham radio operators like us, so I don't hold a grudge, but they're pretty much, a lot of them have that same call down there, and used to hear them a lot, and they work telephone traffic from there to Florida, and then the guys would do a phone patch to their relatives back up here in the United States. Of course, with satellites, they don't have to do that anymore, but I still work them when I hear them on either sideband or CW, and most of the time on sideband or CW, they'll be on 20 meters, the center of the earth.
Some of the stations that some of those guys have, some of the antenna arrays and equipment they've got in their shack, some of them are just out in the middle of nowhere. They must spend a lot of time, must have a lot of time on their hands is all I can say. And 4ZLK.
And I told that one gentleman there, I think he was an Air Force guy. I told him one night we was talking, and usually we keep it short because everybody's trying to get him. And I said, I love to watch Life Below Zero, and I think about you guys down there a lot. And he says, Tom, you know the difference between where I'm at and where that lady's at? And I said, no, not exactly. He says, well, they got 50 below zero up there. And he says, right now it's 100 below outside.
Tell much difference at that point? Seems like it'd feel all about the same, just too damn cold.
Bass Road Truckers, those guys say once it gets to 20 below, on down to 30, 40, and 50, it's just dangerous. And so I don't know if they can discern the difference or not, Shane, but their exposure time, I'm sure, would deteriorate real quick, like. Shane, I got to run out and put a tarp on that chipper out back. I've really enjoyed it this evening. You have a wonderful rest of the day and a safe trip, and I'll catch you down the line in 4ZLK and 0TR.
well. Hello to Miss Bernice. I hope you have a good evening. And thanks for the enjoyable chat. We'll talk to you later. N0TR and 4ZLK.